Good morning, and today's very exciting. It's the conclusion of Perek HaOmer, of the third chapter of Maseches Kiddushin, and the beginning of the fourth chapter of Maseches Kiddushin. Says the Mishnah, we've been learning all about the different types of marriage. There are four different types of marriage. There's a marriage that's completely permissible. There's a marriage that Kiddushin take effect, but there was an Aveira, like a widow to a Kohen Gadol. There's marriage where Kiddushin doesn't take effect between this couple, but this woman could have Kiddushin with somebody else, like Erva. And finally, there's a woman who couldn't have any marriage, not to this person nor to anybody else, like a non-Jew or a Shifcha. So one of the things that's been mentioned till now is the concept of mamzer. Mamzer is a terrible thing, because if a person's a mamzer, his son is a mamzer. If a woman is a mamzer, her child is a mamzer. And mamzeris is something which can never end. It goes on forever. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon said, Yechol mamzerim litaher. There is a way for mamzeris to end and to become pure. Kate said, how would it be like this? Mamzer shenasa shifcha. If a mamzer who's Jewish has marital relations with a shifcha, with a non-Jewish slave. Havlad Evet, in light of the last Mishnah, the child of a non-Jew is a non-Jew. So the mamzer with the slave, the child won't be Jewish. Then shichero, then if the master frees him, nimtza ben chorin, he's now Jewish. Once he's Jewish, he's completely new. Because when a person becomes Jewish, he loses all of their prior filial relationships. So he loses the mamzer status. He becomes a kosher Jew. Rebbe Elazar Omer, that doesn't work. Hareza Evan mamzer. If a mamzer had relations with a shifcha, the child, it's true, is not Jewish, but it's a non-Jewish mamzer. It's both non-Jewish, it's a slave, but also a mamzer. So when he becomes Jewish, he becomes Jewish. He's now a Jewish mamzer. But he didn't lose the power of mamzerus. Says the Gemara. He had a question in the yeshiva. Rabbi Tarfon lechatchila ka'amar, odi eved ka'amar. Is Rabbi Tarfon saying that this is a choice that can be done in the first instance? That a mamzer can marry a shifcha? Because as Rashi explains, the pasuk says, lo yiyeh kadesh bi Yisrael, which means there cannot be a prostitution amongst the Jewish people, and that applies also to shifcha. That's the prohibition of a Jew sleeping with a shifcha, because the shifcha doesn't have a marriage. Since there's no marriage, it's by definition a prostitution act. It's not an act of marriage. Maybe that only applies to Kahal Hashem. It doesn't apply to Mamzeir. Mamzeir are allowed to have relations with a shifcha. Odiyevet kamar. Or maybe he's not saying that it's something which can be done. Really, it's not allowed. Because at the end of the day, the Mamzer is a Jew. However, what's going on here is that if it was done, if the Mamzer went to a place where nobody knew him, and he presented himself as an Eved, and he had relations with a shifcha, with a non-Jewish slave, their child's going to be a slave, and now, once the master frees the slave, he's no, the mamzeris has been broken. Tashma, come in here. Amru lo Rabbi Tarfon, we have a braisa, where the sages tell Rabbi Tarfon, Tiartas Ascharim, that's fine, that you say that the mamzer can lose the mamzeris by liaising, linking up with a shifcha. That works for males, because males can go to some place where nobody knows them, claim that he's an eved, and end up with a shifcha and have children. However, lotiatis on a cable, he didn't work. That's not going to work for girls, because girls don't usually go to new places and misrepresent their identity and then marry, because people do investigations about the girls before they marry them. So what do you see? That according to Bitarfon, it's only b'di'evet. Right? If it was done, then the child is going to be okay. But if you're going to say that lechatchila, as a first choice, there's no problem for an eved and a shifcha to be marrying a mamzer or a mamzeres, so then why are you saying that they have to go hide their identity, but girls aren't good at hiding their identity? Nothing to do with hiding their identity. They can go straight out in the open and marry the non-Jews. So a female mamzeres also would have a way to become pure. The Amrit Lechatchila Ka'amar, if you're saying that Rabbi Tarfon's law was that in the first instance, it's not a problem for a mamzer to marry a shifcha, so then mamzeres nami. So then the same thing should be with a female mamzeres. Tinsav la'avda, she should be able to go and marry an eved. What's the question?
Rabbi, when the slave gets free, becomes half Jew, right?
No, full Jew.
Full Jew. So now this slave has a baby with a mamzer.
Correct.
Okay. So what happened with that baby? Were they free, the slavery thing?
Becomes a full-fledged Jew.
So from mamzer becomes into regular Jew?
Wasn't a mamzer, wasn't Jewish.
I understand, but the mamzer was Jewish to begin with.
No, the father was... The father was a Jewish mamzer. The mother was a slave.
Okay, so the kid becomes
a slave.
Slave, and after they get released, the kid becomes
a full-fledged Jew.
Full-fledged Jew. So it loses the mamzership membership.
That's what Rabbi Tarfon proposed.
Okay,
the question is what does Rabbi Tarfon mean? Does Rabbi Tarfon mean that because it's a slave, there is no and it's a mamzer, there's actually no prohibition on their marriage, or there is a prohibition on their marriage, but this is what people could do to try to break the status of mamzerus. So the Gemara says...
Did we just learn all the Gemara about a Jew not being able to marry a non-Jew, and the slave's a non-Jew, right?
Correct.
So why should... Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
No, because... The Torah talks about kahal.
So mamzer is not part of kahal Hashem.
Certainly not. That's certainly not right. And mamzer is not part of kahal Hashem, so he doesn't have these obligations. So the Gemara says, "No, that's not what the Braisa meant. The Braisa didn't mean that a male mamzer could hide his identity. A female mamzer can't hide her identity." And that's why a male mamzer can get rid of the mamzerus, but a female cannot. What it was saying was, Eved ein lo chayis. A male slave marrying the female mamzerus is not going to help anything. Because even if it's permitted for the mamzerim to marry slaves, both male and female, but if it's a female mamzeres with a male slave, so the male slave anyway doesn't do anything to the child. The child just is the child of the mamzeres as a mamzer. It's not like if a mamzer marries a shifcha, so then we say that the shifcha determines what the child is. The child is a slave. But if a female mamzeres married an eved, even if it's permitted that there's no prohibition of lo yiyah kadesh, but the Eved is not going to determine the ethnic identity of the child. The child's ethnic identity is never determined by the Eved father. A child's ethnic identity is determined by the Jewish mother. So how did it help you get rid of Mamzerus? Tashma, come in here, proof whether Rabbi Tarfon was saying that Lechatchila the Mamzer could marry a Shifcha, or he was only saying if it was done, it would work. There's a story... The host of Rabbi Simloi, Mamzer Hava, he was a Mamzer. Amar Leis, Rabbi Simloi said to him, Iyakad mitach, if I would have known you before you had gotten married, Taritina Luvnach, I would have given you guidance to enable your child to be pure, to no longer be a Mamzer. All right, now Iyamat Bishmalachat Chila. If Rabbi Tarfon is saying that it's fine for a mamzer to marry a shifcha, so Shapir, I can understand Rabbi Simulai would go recommend to a mamzer to go do something. If it's permitted, he would tell him to do something permitted. Eli Yamit the Eved. But if Rabbi Tarfon was saying, if it was done, it'll end up fixing the mamzerus. So my niu. So I don't understand what's going on here. The mansiv le eitzav amrle zilgno. What's he going to tell him to do? He's going to go tell him to do an aveira? So Kumar says, yeah. The mansiv le'etza, what Rabbi Simlai would have told him would have been the following. Gamalei would have told him, here's the advice. Zilgnov, you have a problem. You have a mamzer, so go steal something which you don't have the money to pay back. Spend it. Is daven be'evet ivri. And then you can be sold as an evet ivri. And an Eved Ivri is permitted halachically with a Shifcha. So the Gemara asks, Obashani to Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Simlai lived at the time of the Second Temple. In the years of Rabbi Simlai, Eved Ivri Mihava, did we even have the concept of Eved Ivri? But we've learned before in Eved Ivri, Noeg, Elabas Mancha, Yovel Noeg. You only have the concept of Eved Ivri when there was the possibility of Yovel and him leaving because of Yovel. And we didn't have Yovel in the times of the Second Temple, because we didn't have all the Jews living in their territory. So what do you have to say? Shemamino, you see from this, Rabbi Tarfon lechatchila kamer. Rabbi Tarfon was saying that there's no problem for a mamzer to live with a shivcha. Shemamino, that's a good proof. Because otherwise, if there'd be a problem, how could Rabbi Simlai go and encourage it? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Tarfon. Halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. That a mamzer can lose the status of mamzerus by going and marrying a shivcha. Now, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar disagreed with Rabbi Tarfon. He said it doesn't help that if a mamzer is with a shivcha, the child is a non-Jewish mamzer. That when he becomes Jewish, so fine. So he became Jewish, but now he still has the status of mamzer.
Mamzer, right.
Rabbi Lazar said, my time into Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer? So the answer is, the Pasuk says, about the mamzer, gam dor asiri, even the 10th generation, lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem. He cannot come for himself in the community of Hashem. Lo, to him, that means aleichachar psulo, you keep following him, you keep following his disqualification. Rabbanan, they'll tell you, in other words, Rabbi Tarfon will tell you, ahu, that pasuk is a regular Yisrael, shenasa mamzeres. A Yisrael who marries a mamzeres. What's the point then? Obviously, the 10th generation is still prohibited. I'll tell you what. Tzalka Da'at HaChamina would have thought to say that whenever two Jews marry, L'mishpachosam L'veisav Osam Ksiv, the verse says that the families are determined by their father's house. So then, if it's a Yisrael marrying a Mamzeres, it should just be a regular Jew and not be a Mamzer anymore. Asalo, that's Ev the Pasuk, Lo. Afke, it says that even though generally we follow the father, but sometimes we don't. He'll tell you, listen, normally you have a standard of you following the father, but yet in regards to mamzer, the word says lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem, to say that it doesn't follow the father and it's prohibited. So Chanami said the same is true in regards to shivcha. Afalgav, even though we had the pasuk yesterday, the chsiv that says that when an Eved Ivri, a Jewish person, has marital relations with a shivcha, the woman and her children stay with her master. They stay non-Jewish. Asalo, that's what the pasuk is saying. Lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem. Afke, it's taking that out of the rule and saying that here, it's not that they are non-Jewish with no relations to the father. They're still a mamzer. And Rabbanu will tell you, no. Kol vlad b'mei shivcha kananis kula kivlad b'mei behema dama. When there is a child in the womb of the non-Jewish slave, that's like a fetus in the womb of an animal. You know, there's certainly no relationship to the Jewish father. So if the Jewish father was a mamzer, there's no relationship to that father. And therefore, you can't say that the status of mamzerus is being transferred to that fetus. Hadron Allah, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, Perek HaOmer. Now we begin the fourth chapter, the final chapter of Maseches Kiddushin. Says the Mishnah, a history lesson. Asara Yuchsin Alumi Babel, when Ezra took the Jews out of Iraq from Babel, brought them to Israel to build the second temple, in the year, I think, was it 586? Maybe, no, 516? Before the Common Era, 10 different genealogical groups came up. Number one, Kohanim. Number two, Levim. Number three, Yisraelim. Number four, Chalalim. These are Kohanim who are the children of a divorced woman. So these are disqualified Kohanim. Number five, Gerim, non-Jews who had converted. Number six, Chiruri, slaves who had been freed. Number seven, Mamzerim. Number eight, Nesini. These were the non-Jewish Givonim who had converted to Judaism in the days of Joshua. And then as we learned in Maseches Yevamos, King David made a rule that that you couldn't marry with them. It was a rabbinic legislation that the Givonim converts. Number nine, Shtuki. We'll see this is a situation where we don't know who the father is. So it's a Safik Mamzer. And number 10, Asufi, a boy brought in from the street. We don't even know who the mother is. Also a Safik Mamzer. And now the rules between the different genealogical groups. Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim, Mutarim, Lavo, Zebazet, can marry each other. Leviim, Yisraelim, and Chalalim. Now Chalalim can't marry Kohanim, but Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalalim. Gerim, who are converts, and Haruri, and slaves freed, Mutarim, Lavo, Zebazet, can marry each other. Gerim, since they're not Kal Hashem, and Avadim, Shukhrarim, freed slaves, and Mamzerim, and the Nesinim, and the Shtuki, and the Asufi, and the Safik Mamzer, all Kula Mutarim, Lava Zebazet, they're all allowed to marry each other. Eluheim Shtuki, this is what his Shtuki is, called Shumakir Asimo. He knows who his mother is, but when he calls to his father, father, his mother says, don't say that, because that's not your father. He doesn't know who the father is. They know Makir Asavi, doesn't know who the father is. What's an Asufi? We don't even know who the mother is, called Shanasaf and Ashuk, they know Makir Lois Aviv Lois Imo. He was picked up in the street. And we don't know who the father is, we don't know who the mother is. Abba Shola Yakura Lishtuki Baduki. Abba Shola used to call Lishtuki Baduki, figure him out. All right, says the Gemara, Asara Yuchsin, interesting terminology here. 10, you know, genealogical groups, Alumi Bavel, went up out of Bavel. Now, it's an interesting phrase, because Bavel's to the north, Iraq is to the north of Israel. So what do you mean they went up from Bavel? My area, the tunnel, Alumi Bavel. Why do you say they went up from Bavel? What's the answer, Fred? This is the source. This is the source. The going to Israel is called Aliyah. Rabbi Rimon spoke about. Beautiful. So Nisni, why didn't it say, Halchu l'Eretz Yisrael, 10 genealogical groups travel to the land of Israel. Answer the Gemara, Mil Sarek Avur Chikam Ashman. This is something which is teaching us, you know, by the side, where the Mishnah is teaching us the following. Kedetani Zulint in the Braisa, the Pasuk says that you have to take the money of Maestro Sheni. The Kamtava, Lisa Lamakum Ashayiv Chashem Lokecha, and get up and go up to the place that God your Lord will choose. Malami, that teaches that when you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. The Beis HaMikdash is higher than the rest of the land of Israel. The Eretz Yisrael gavoah mikol haaretzos, and Eretz Yisrael is considered higher than all the other lands. You're spiritually going up when you go up to the land of Israel. Bishlam Beis HaMikdash gavoah mikol haaretzos. I understand that you can say that the temple is higher than the rest of the land of Israel from this pasuk, kind of d'chsev, because the pasuk says, Divrei Ribos Bisharecha, you might have a fight in your gates. The Kamtava Lisa, get up and go to the Sanhedrin, to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Eretz Yisrael, Gavah, Mikol HaRatzos Minalan. How do we know that the land of Israel is higher than all the other lands? Tichsev, it's the following verse in the Navi Yirmiyahu. Lachain, therefore, Hinei Yamin Ba'im Num Hashem. Behold, days are coming, says God. Lo Yeyamer, it will not be said anymore. Hey Hashem, live God, Asher Helas B'nei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, who brought the Jews up from the land of Egypt. But rather it will be said, Hey Hashem, live God, Asher Ha'elah, who has brought up, Asher Hevien has brought, as B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, Me'eret Safon, from the northern land. You see that when you go from the northern land, from Bavel to Israel, it's called going up. U'mikol haaretzos, and from all the lands, Asher Yidachtim Sham, that I've pushed them away there, that wherever you go from any land to Israel, you can be going from Africa to Israel, from Europe to Israel, from Asia to Israel, you're going up.
Does this just mean it's derived from the word up means chashav?
Yeah, the Maharal explains. It means that the land of Israel is of a higher spiritual stature. So you're going up spiritually to get to the land of Israel. My iria d'tani alumi Bavel. Why did the Mishnah say 10 genealogical groups went up from Bavel? Nisni, why don't you say alu l'Eretz Yisrael? They went up to the land of Israel. Why focus on where they went up from? Talk about where they went up to, because after all, it's their destination, which is allowing us to use the verb, they went up. And so the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, this teaches you halacha. It's a proof to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar used to say, if you want to find someone who you absolutely know is genealogically good, go to Bavel. Because Lo'ala Ezra mi Bavel ha-chasak, tisholos nakiya va'ala. When Ezra left Bavel, he cleaned Bavel out fully. It was like fine flour. He found all the mamzerim, he took them out with him. He found all the shtukim, all the Suffolk mamzers, and took them out with him. He found all the nesinim and took them out with him. So if you want a person, if you want someone who you know is really good, go to Bavel. Itmar, we learned Abaye Amar Alu Me'ileim Tznan. The way to read the Mishnah is these 10 groups went up on their own. In other words, Ezra said, we're going. So 10 different groups volunteered to join him. Rava Amar, Rava said, He'elum Tznan. 10 groups that Ezra made them go up. He found all the Mamzerim, he forced them out. He found all the Shtuki, all the Yasufi. He said, you're coming with me now. I can't leave you anymore. All the rabbis are leaving. I can't leave you around. If I leave you here, the whole community is going to become Safik Mamzer because they're going to intermarry with you. You're coming out with me. So what's the argument? Presumably, come here for give me the Rebbe Lazar. Their argument at this very point that we just said, Rebbe Lazar had said, Lo Allah Ezra mi Bavel, Ad Shasa, Kisolas Nechia Ba'Allah. Ezra didn't leave Bavel until he had cleaned it out. He found all the disqualified, problematic Jews and pulled them out with him.
What is the idea behind this? It's always bothering me. Why he did this act?
Why? To make sure that that now the marriages that will happen after he left are 100%.
He's thinking about Babel, he doesn't think about Eretz Yisrael.
Well, we'll see that if he already identified them, then they know when they get to Israel also who they are. Everybody knows these are the Mamzerim. These are the ones we should stay away from.
So he left a good one.
But they are identified as Mamzerim. So while he's bringing Mamzerim to Israel, everybody knows to stay away and not marry them.
Leave no Mamzer behind.
Abaye, Leslie Dribbelazer. If Abaye says that it was only that these groups went up as volunteers, they weren't forced to leave. So he doesn't agree with Dribbelazer that Bavel is great, because, you know, some of the people maybe didn't choose to go. However, Rava, Isla Dribbelazer, Rava, who says that they were forced to go, he's confirming the view of Dribbelazer that Ezra cleans out Bavel. That's one explanation. Anybody say another explanation? Everybody agrees with Rebbe Lazar that Bavel today is great. And it's very clean. What's the argument whether they went involuntarily or they went against their will? Mar Sabra Abaye says, Ezra, you know, encouraged them to volunteer. How? Afrushi Afrushinu. He went throughout the Jewish community in Bavel. He found all the Mamzerim. He made them move to one neighborhood. He found all the Shtuki. Made them move to another neighborhood. Now they were separated. Now they're going to stay around when they've already been outed. So Sliku, they went on their own up to Eretz Yisrael. Umar Savar and Rava said, no, the process was different. He went and he found the Mamzerim. He said, you're coming with us to Eretz Yisrael. Al Korchinu Asukinu. He made them come against their will. But everybody agrees that Bavel ended up getting very clean. Bishmal Amad Amar Allah, I can understand according to Abayi, who says that they volunteered to go. That's what Rabbi Yehuda used to say in the name of Shmuel. Kol haratzos isa l'eretz Yisrael. Other lands relative to Israel, it's like a safek relative to that which is clear. It's like a dough relative to that which is strained and clear. Because other lands, no one ever cleaned it out. Eretz Yisrael, at least they came in clean. However, Eretz Yisrael isa l'bavel. Eretz Yisrael relative to Bavel is like a dough relative to that which is clean. Because Ezra cleans out Bavel very well, so that's the best. Elamand Amar Helum. But according to the view that they were made to go against their will, so that even when they got to Eretz Yisrael, made the Yadi, everybody knew who was who. Since everybody knew who was who, so Eretz Yisrael also should be very clean. Answer the Gemara, Nehid Yadi Lahudar. Yes, the generation of Ezra knew who was who. But the later generations forgot. Bishma Lamanda, Mark and Sin, according to the opinion, Alu, that they went up on their own. That's what the verse says, that Ezra gathered all of the people coming up with him to this river. Yamim Shlosa, they were there for 3 days camping, and he was going through Vavina Baam, he was trying to see who he had. Uba Kohanim, and amongst the Kohanim, and then he found a tragedy. There were no Leviim there who were kosher for the Avodah. The only Leviim that he had with him were Leviim who had mutilated their fingers when they told Nebuchadnezzar, Eich Nashir et Shir Hashem alad Matnechar. How could you make us play the music of God on foreign soil? El Madomer Halum. But if Ezra was forcing people up, Hamiz is a Zahiri, so Ezra should have known back in Babel who he has coming with him. He should know to make sure to take Leviim that are kosher to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash with him. So Gemara says, yeah, who was he forcing to go up? He was forcing the disqualified people to go up to clean out those who were left. So Nehida Ezer B'Psulim, yeah, he was careful to make sure that he had all the Namzerim, but he wasn't careful to see which Leviim are coming, and it ended up all the Leviim that were coming were mutilated Leviim. Baksheirim lo izdahur. The Mishnah said that of the 10 groups, it's an easy way to remember who's permitted with who. It's like a sliding scale. You take first 1, 2, and 3, they're permitted with each other. Then 2, 3, 4, 5 are permitted with each other. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and 10 are permitted with each other. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Me'enelam, the Sleeker, how do we know that Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim came up with Ezra? The Chassidus of the Pasuk says, Vayeshua, Kohanim, Levim, Mina'av, Vamishorim, Vashoarim, Vanisinim, Barehem. The Chol Yisrael Bareyam, that the Kohanim Leviim and the people from the nation and the singers and the gatekeepers and even the Nesinim all settled in their cities with the Yisraelim in their cities. Chalali Geir V'Chiruri, the Chalali Minel. How do we know that Chalalim came up? Titania, as we learned in a Rice, Rabbi Yossi used to say, G'dola Chazaka, great is the power of a presumption. If someone has a certain presumption that he's acting in a certain way, it's amazing how it could be elevated. Where do we see this? Shenemar, as we have the pasuk, u'mibnei ha-kohanim, and from the kohanim who came up from with Ezra, it was bnei Chevya, they were the children of Chevya, bnei Hakutz, bnei Barzilai, asher lakach mibnos Barzilai giladi isha, they had married from the daughters of Barzilai, who was from Manasseh, from Gilad, a woman, v'yikarei al shmam, that's what they were called, bnei Barzilai. They looked for their documents of genealogy to prove that they were kosher kohanim. For lo nimtzo, they couldn't find it. They were thrown out of kuhuna. So Ezra told them, they can no longer eat from the holiest of holies, from karbanos. Adam would coin the Urim V'tumim until Mashiach would come, until we get again the Urim V'tumim to determine whether they are full-fledged Kohanim. V'amalemni told them, but even though I'm not allowing you anymore to eat karbanos, you are in your presumption. What were you eating when you were in Bavel? You were eating truma, b'kadshi ha'gvul. Afkanami b'kadshi ha'gvul. Even in Eretz Yisrael, you can keep eating kadshi ha'gvul.
There's truma outside of Israel.
Well, yeah, it's true. We'll get to that. It's true. Yeah, there was apparently chuma. There was chuma outside of Israel, yes. They were eating it. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand, how could, first of all, so you see that their tradition could continue, the power of tradition, even though there were questions about them, about their whole status. Asks the Gemara, what about those people who say that if you see someone eating chuma, you know that he's a meyuchas? So if they're eating chuma, they're going to now elevate them. Shiny asam, now there it was different. There's a problem in their tradition because they're eating chuma, but they can't do service. So in what way is great is the power of their tradition? This addresses Avriel's point. Initially, when they were outside of Israel, they could eat Truma, which is only obligated rabbinically, not biblical truma. Truma drabana, the truma of Chutz La'aretz, is truma midrabana. But now, since they were eating truma drabana, when they got to Eretz Yisrael, vasof achol b'truma d'orais, so they were still eating truma d'orais, the truma of grain of Eretz Yisrael. The Yibai say, they can tell you, lo'olam ashtanam b'drabana achol, they could only keep their chazak, they were eating truma drabana. B'dorais lo achol, they couldn't eat the truma d'orais. So you asked, okay, so, and that actually answers the question. When do we say that if someone can eat chuma, that means he's a miyuchas? That's midoraisa. That's when he's eating chuma doraisa. Midrabana lo maskin. If he's only eating chuma drabana, we can't say he's a miyuchas. Yachi, if so, my gdola chazaka. What's the greatness of the chazaka? To me, kara, because initially when they're in Bavel and there is no chuma doraisa, lekla migzim is chuma doraisa. So of course they can eat chuma drabana. Levasof, afakav dikla migzim is chuma doraisa. Still, Ezra allowed them to keep doing what they could have done. Bidrabanan achol bidoraisa lo achol. They ate rabbanan, but they didn't eat oraisa.